for.
Senate File 99, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 99, sales tax on certain food items, an act relating to sales and use tax, sponsored by Senator Martin.
Senate File 99 has been referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. Senate File 98, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 98, Hospital Privileges, an act relating to hospital privileges for health care providers, sponsored by Senator Scott.
Senate File 98 has been referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Reports from standing committees.
January the 13th, 2011, Mr. President, your Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 21, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Barnard, Emmerich, Hines, Perkins. No, Senator Case, Senator Hines, Chairman. January the 12th, 2011, Mr. President, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 42, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Cooper, Johnson, Landon, Nutting, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, Chairman. January the 13th, 2011, Mr. President, your Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 4, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Martin, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. January the 13th, 2011, Mr. President, your Committee Number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, to whom was referred Senate File 23, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, and Martin. No, Senator Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. January the 12th, 2011, Mr. President, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 26, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Cooper, Johnson, Landon, Nutting, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business for the consideration of bills on general file.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself back into committee of the whole for bills on consideration of general file.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion is carried. Senator Coe. Committee of the whole, please come back to order.
First bill for our consideration is Senate File 38. Reading clerk, please read the Senate file.
Senate File 38, School Athletic Safety, an act relating to education, sponsored by Senator Landon. It was referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Barnard, Cole, Jennings, Landon, Rothfuss, Senator Cole, Chairman.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to do with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 38, there is a standing committee amendment, and I move that amendment at this time and turn it over to the Honorable Senator Landon.
I'm going to have the reading clerk read in the standing committee amendment first.
Senate File 38, standing committee amendment number 1, page 1, line 2.
Now, Mr. Chairman, I move that amendment.
Senator Landon, you want to deal with the standing committee amendment first, or you want to wait and deal with the mayor?
Mr. Chairman, if it please the chair,
we will deal with the standing committee amendment as we get into the bill, if that's all right. It fits well into the definitions in the early part of the bill. We also have a committee of the whole amendment. We can deal with that in a little bit here, too. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this year there will be over 500,000 concussions reported in the United States among our high school and junior high age students. We don't really know the exact number of how many concussions our student athletes will sustain out there, however. The Center for Disease Control thinks that that could be three times that number. The problem is many of these hits to the head, whatever, go unreported. I've been asked why I brought this legislation, and I wanted to let the body know a little bit about what led me to do so. I was visiting not long ago with my son up in a state in the Northwest. He's a head coach of a lacrosse team, and he was explaining to me how well they take care of their athletes up there in that particular state and the reasons why. They lost a young man on a football field because of a second impact collision, something that we now know can be prohibited if we do the right thing. And the court case settlement with the state of Washington dictated that the state of Washington do something a little bit better in terms of safety and education for their athletes. And so they knew they could do better. And when I hung up the telephone, I thought for several days after that that maybe the state of Wyoming can do a little bit better as well. With much help, I drafted Senate File 38 because I think that we can take a little bit better approach in how we take care of our high school athletes. I don't want anybody to misunderstand the intent of the bill. I think that the state of Wyoming needs to be applauded. I want to specifically applaud our State High School Association, which has led the way in terms of information and promoting a volunteer effort among our coaches to get up to speed on this issue. The fact is, though, that this law would help our state take the next step. Here's what Senate File 38 would do. First, I think it's going to increase the awareness of concussion in our student activities. Second, I think we can better educate our coaches, our athletic trainers, our student athletes, and our parents as to the risks associated with concussion. And third, I think we can encourage through rules and regulations that our school districts adopt better safety and management techniques to keep our students safe. Before I go any further, I do want to thank several folks, particularly the High School Activities Association, several coaches, and many athletic directors who kind of helped to draft this legislation. I hope when you have looked at the bill, as the Education Committee did, that you will find that we took quite a bit of care, folks, to make sure that we didn't make this bill so onerous that our school districts out there could not accomplish what the bill sets out to do. We also kept the focus, I think, on safety and education, and that's really what I want to emphasize that this bill is all about. So with that background, I'd be happy, Mr. Chairman, to walk you through the bill. As you can see, Senate File 38 creates two new sections underneath 21-4. Right away, we get into, on page 2, the definitions. If you notice subparagraph 2 little I, under athletic coach or trainer, that means any paid or volunteer individual whose responsibilities include coaching, athletic training, or advising a school athletic team or club. That covers cheerleading sponsors. That covers a lot of the coaches that we employ in our school districts who may not be full-time. They may not even be paid coaches. But what this bill would ask is that we get them up to speed on what it takes to understand concussion. Mr. Chairman, that might be a very good place for us to consider the Standing Committee Amendment, because if you'll notice, when we make reference to trainer, What the Education Committee did yesterday was to make sure that we understood that that is athletic trainer. So if you take a look at your standing committee amendment, it inserts the word athletic in front of the reference to trainer throughout the bill. There are an awful lot of trainers out there. We wanted to make sure that everyone understood that we are referencing athletic trainers. One other little piece of the standing committee amendment, Mr. Chairman, is located at the top of page 3, where we inserted in between junior high school and senior high school, we inserted middle high school, because many of our communities out there don't have junior high schools. They are considered middle schools. So with that said, Mr. Chairman, I would call for question on the standing committee amendment.
The question being called for, all in favor of the standing committee amendment to Senate File 38, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That's been adopted. Back on the bill, Senator Landon.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I'll continue on through the bill with a quick overview, and then I'll be glad to try to answer any questions that you might have on Senate File 38. If you'll notice on page 3, we begin the safety provision of the bill. Lines 9 through 12 indicate the reason why a student athlete would not be allowed to participate the same day if he or she is known to exhibit signs or has been diagnosed with a concussion. If you move on over to page 4, we get in the middle of the page down on 15. Excuse me, let me back up and just say that the following the qualifiers that we put in place in order for a student athlete to return to play or to participate are under I and little double I. Those are the qualifiers. No longer exhibits any sign or symptom of or behavior consistent with concussion or receives a medical release from a licensed healthcare professional. I want to call your attention to lines 12 and 13 because I think that is a key provision in this piece of legislation. We purposefully kept that reference as general as we could because we're very much aware of the fact that we've got a lot of small school districts out there. We've got a lot of small teams that participate, and they might be a long ways away from healthcare providers. That said, we had a lot of discussion in committee about this particular provision, and what we decided was that under rules and reg discussions, I think that's where that could actually take place, that decision could be made, and for that reason, I would move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 38, Mr. Chairman, and ask for its consideration. I'd be glad to explain that. You will notice that it references this.
I think that the reading clerk needs to read that in for us first.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize.
Reading clerk, please read the Committee of the Whole Amendment.
Senate File 38, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, page 5 after line 23.
Back on the amendment, Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize. The reference is back to this language on line 12 and 13. Page 4, and what that says is that the definition of a healthcare professional will be decided upon by rule when the State Board of Education takes up, their rule promulgation with regard to this bill. I think that's a good place for that to happen, simply because there can be a little bit more flexibility in rule than there can be in statute, and we could sit and debate all day which healthcare professional we believe is qualified to sign off on a student athlete or participant with regard to concussion. So that said, Mr. Chairman, I would be glad to answer any questions. Otherwise, I'd call for question on the Committee of the Whole Amendment.
Yeah. Is there any discussion on the Committee of the Whole Amendment? Question being called for. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That amendment's been adopted. Back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Halfway through page 4, we get into the training of our coaches. You'll notice paragraph C, that each district is going to be asked to ensure that their athletic coaches, athletic trainers, receive the training pursuant to this section. And that training will be decided upon by rule with the State Board of Education. The reference to what we expect that to be begins at the bottom of page 4. Little paragraph I references the National High School Federation. And I would point out to all of you, if you have an interest in that, that you can access a test that is already available. Some of our coaches across Wyoming have already availed themselves through the State Association website to that test on concussion. Unfortunately, not a majority of our coaches have, and many of our districts have not insisted that our coaches get up to speed. That is really all we are calling for. At a minimum, we would like for that test to include at least what the National High School Federation test includes in it, and that is understood under paragraph A and B. At the bottom of page 5, we get into what we want the school district to do in regard to athletic coaches and trainers sharing that information with our parents. I think we all know that parents and guardians are a big piece of this puzzle when it comes to participation in activities. In an ironic sort of a way, I think this legislation, folks, will actually provide some good backing to many of our coaches out there. Parents can put a lot of pressure on coaches when it comes to playing time and starting at quarterback, et cetera, et cetera. And I think what this is going to allow our coaches to do is to say, not only do I want to err on the side of safety, but the state of Wyoming wants me to err on the side of safety. And so that's why I think that's an important piece of the bill, Mr. Chairman. We want our parents up to speed, and we're going to ask that they sign off as understanding the risks of participation in these high school activities, association-sanctioned events. So that's a rundown on the bill. I would be happy to answer any questions that I can. Thank you.
Is there discussion on the bill? Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, during the interim at your Joint Labor, Health, and Social Services Committee, it's our practice to have a public comment period where any citizen can come and talk to us about issues of concern in our general area of jurisdiction. And we had a physical therapist from Senate District Number 1 who drove clear over to our meeting in Buffalo. And she is married to a former NFL player. And my understanding is that she and her husband have been involved in the efforts that the NFL is making to understand concussions and its effects and preventing their effects. And she told us that we really ought to have state legislation in this area because of the seriousness of the problem, the need for some consistency in dealing with this kind of problem in our high school sports in particular. It was outside our charge from the management council to get into this particular subject matter, but I will tell you she was very persuasive as to the risks that you're running with concussions and the usefulness of having some simple preventive measures, including the education of particularly the coaches and the trainers in how to deal with these concussions. So for that reason, Mr. Chairman, I signed on this bill as a co-sponsor. I think it's one that will enhance the safety of our school athletics. It's a wonderful, my boy played football for a year. It's a wonderful experience for kids. But there's safe ways to do it and unsafe ways to do it. And this will not detract from the experience, but will enhance the safety of it. And I would urge its adoption.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be brief. From my experience of having been a high school football player and a college football player, amongst other athletes in a contact sport, having coached junior high school, a lot of contact sports there, been called upon as a coach in a small town, small community, to make decisions about concussions and other injuries that, quite frankly, I was not comfortable with. And having had a family experience in regard to the area of TBI, traumatic brain injury, and others, I would just simply say that this is an excellent bill, and it deserves your support.
Further discussion? Questions on Senator Jennings' motion that Senate File 38 pass Committee of the Whole? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Senate File 38 is passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration, Senate File 76. Reading clerk, please read the Senate file.
Senate File 76, Voluntary Environmental Audit Report, an act relating to environmental quality, sponsored by the Minerals Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals Business Economic Development, which reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Bebout, Cole, Cooper, Jennings, and Rothfuss, Senator Bebout, Chairman.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report to do so with a favorable consideration.
Senator Bebout, can I interrupt you for a minute, please?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Esquibel would like privilege of the floor briefly before we start this bill. I overlooked that. Senator Esquibel, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor. Sorry to interrupt Senator Bebout's introduction. Members of the Senate, I'd like to introduce three individuals that are present with us today that have met with some of us recently. I know they met with President Anderson, and they met with Speaker of the House Buchanan. These three individuals, I'd like to introduce the first two that represent a multicultural mosaic foundation. And these two individuals are over here to my right, Hassan Nguyen and Isaac Aydin. And as I stated previously, they represent the Multicultural Mosaic Foundation, Harmony Through Dialogue. Also with them is the president of West America, Turkic, and they're providing some information regarding cultural ties with the country of Turkey. And the president of that organization, America, Turkic, is Oscar Yaldiz. And would you join me in welcoming these three individuals to the state of Wyoming and to the...
Welcome to the Senate. Okay, back on Senate File 76. Senator Bebout, sorry to interrupt you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation that Senate File 76 do pass. There are no standing committee amendments, and I yield to the floor sponsor, Senator Cooper.
Senator Cooper.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I bring you Senate File 76, Voluntary Environmental Audit Report. This bill, Mr. Chairman, is basically, as you can see, it's a one-pager, and it's repealing the requirement for a report that we've been getting for a number of years. Just like to kind of take you through a little bit of the history of this and what's happened with this program. This program was actually started in 1995, and over the last 15 years of this program has been in existence, there's only been a couple of takers or volunteers, I should say, and anybody who's been in the military, you know what volunteerism is about. But anyway, and so it hasn't really had a lot of people that have been willing to sign on to the program. And the program basically has had some inherent problems with it and several drawbacks, and I'll just kind of take you through a couple of those to explain to you what happened and then get back to the report itself. But one of the things is that if you volunteered for this program with the DEQ, a person from the DEQ would come out, inspector, and inspect your facility because you invited them on board. And when they were doing this, the whole idea originally was is that, you know, they could advise you and give you some ideas on maybe things you were doing wrong or whatever it was, so that maybe in the future you wouldn't be cited for that. Not only that, it would make a safer environment for your workers and those people around around the business. But they found out as they tried to implement the program that there were, that a state DEQ inspector was unable to waive federal law. So if there was a, for example, a Clean Water Act involved or Clean Air Act reg involved, and they came to your facility to try to help you out, if they found that there was a problem there and it was an issue that could be cited, they were required to cite you and fine you for that problem. And so, of course, it's because of that, it wasn't long before there wasn't any volunteers because, you know, you invite somebody in. And then also what happened is that becomes part of the public record once you're cited. So people said, well, you know, maybe I don't want to kind of to sign on with this program. So anyway, so it didn't also preclude any federal intervention into the issue also once it was reported. And the way in which the audit process is prescribed, the cost to conduct the audit was pretty high. That was another issue with it. And as I mentioned, the information, of course, as soon as you were cited on a federal reg, then, of course, that became very public information to everybody out there in the world. And the idea was to try to help you get through that. So as a result, there's only been a couple of times when anybody, any organization has ever tried to even take advantage of this in the 15 years. The Minerals Committee gets this report. This report is actually only in the session laws. It's not in the green books, in the main statutes. It's in session laws only. I checked this for the heck of it with the LSO staff this morning, and I asked how many actually reports does the legislature get according to statute or session laws. We get about 60 reports a year, and you can imagine the amount of work that is compared to when also you figure there's 90 legislators, and many of these reports don't go out to all of us, but they go out to several committees many times. And since we're on an austerity program these days, the Minerals Committee thought, well, maybe this is one report that we could probably do away with, and so that's the recommendation of this bill that is before you. I stand for any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion on Senate File 76?
Question.
Question being called for. The question is on Senator Bebout's motion that Senate File 76 pass committee of the whole. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Senate File 76 is passed. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 75. Reading clerk, please read the Senate file.
Senate File 75, Workforce Housing Infrastructure Funds Reversion, an act relating to economic development, sponsored by the Minerals Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals Business Economic Development, which reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Bebout, Cole, Cooper, Jennings, and Rothfuss, Senator Bebout, Chairman.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation that Senate File 75, Workforce Housing Infrastructure Funds Reversions, do pass. There are no standing committee amendments, and I yield to the floor sponsor, Senator Jennings.
Senator Jennings, another easy bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe this one is. Over the last few years, we had the booms, and we had a large need for workforce housing up in the coal bed country and a lot, and over in the deep gas country. And I think what we have here is a program that maybe didn't move as fast as our development moved. And we worked on this several, I believe it came back 2 years before we finally came down to what we really wanted here. We had a problem with being able to put money into development and housing directly because of, you know, the constitutional issues there. And what this program came up with was that we could loan money to the communities and the counties and let them go out and work on the infrastructure and make sure everything was in one trench. And we had all kinds of different ways to do this. Problem is, by the time we got this program rolled out and $1 million worth of money there, nobody wanted it. There's a little bit of a write-up in your box that kind of covers, you know, the brief description of the counties, but Basically, nobody got in line after the bill was ready or the program was ready. The $1 million is sitting there. So what we want to do is put that million dollars back, take it out of the program, but we don't want to discontinue the program. We have the potential over in the Niobrara Shale country that we may need something like this again. So what the committee looked at was taking the money, putting it back, taking it out of the program, put it back in the fund, general fund, and leave the program on the books in case we need it again. If you look on page 2, starting there, line 17, you'll notice that it said, except for any repayments in principal, that's in there just in case somebody comes rushing in at the last moment to use the program. The money would be there, and that covers that last minute thing. We're not anticipating anything like that, but that's just the just in case clause. So that's the gist of this simple little bill. Good program. I think we should take the money, give it back to the fund, and leave the program in place. Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on Senate File 75. Any discussion? Questions on Senator Vebout's motion that Senate File 75 pass committee of the whole? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Senate File 75 is passed committee of the whole. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 74. The reading clerk, please read the Senate file.
Senate File 74, Wyoming Market Research Center, an act relating to economic development, sponsored by the Minerals Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, which reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebot, Cole, Cooper, Jennings, and Rothfuss. Senator Bebot, Chairman.
Senator Bebot.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise reports that it do so with a favorable recommendation that Senate File 74, Wyoming Market Research Center, do pass. There are no standing committee amendments. And I yield to the floor sponsor, Senator Rothfuss.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill addresses the Wyoming Market Research Center, which is a good program that's been underway since 2003. It's affected more than 2,400 businesses since its inception, and what it does is provide marketing service, information, and expertise to Wyoming businesses related to marketing. It's a relatively low-cost endeavor that has had tremendous success over the years. And what this bill does is try to change statute a little bit to move the statute into alignment with what the role of this Market Research Center has become over the last 7 years of its operations. The budget of the center right now stands at slightly less than $300,000 per year, and we'll look at some details on how we're addressing that to a small degree as we work through the bill. All right, looking at the bill, there's not a great deal that we're changing, but one of the changes on page 1, line 16, changes to some degree the focus of what the Market Research Center is addressing. When it was originally set forth, it was set forth to specifically address our manufacturing needs in the state. But over the years of its operation, it has actually shifted somewhat in its purpose to focus more on small business and potential entrepreneurial development, which is why the first change in the statute, which goes on to page 2, line 1, shows that the focus will shift to include small businesses and potential entrepreneurs. Now, this is not exclusive of the manufacturing sector. In fact, about 10% of their business over the last 7 years has included the manufacturing sector, but they wanted to make sure that the statute broadened their definition so that they were operating consistently with the intent of the statute and were not appearing to operate outside those bounds. The second aspect to this bill is a repealer, which is key to look at, and that is a repealer under Section 2, which is shown on line 9, page 2, of 912.106b little 1. Now, this is an important repealer because what it does is repeal a fee schedule that was supposed to be phased in over time, where the Market Research Center, as originally enacted in statute, was supposed to become self-sustaining and transfer the operational costs to the businesses that they were serving through a fee schedule. Now, as it turned out over the years of operation, they found that there were two areas where resistance occurred that prevented them from incorporating this fee schedule. The first area of resistance was the fact that the businesses, quite frankly, didn't want to take advantage of those services if there was a fee associated with it. They found that the businesses of Wyoming, this is particularly small businesses, startups, people who aren't sure what they're doing necessarily, they're trying to look for market research, they're uncertain, and they're reaching out for some free advice. Well, they operated very well that way, but they were finding that there was resistance if they started to offer a charge. But perhaps more importantly for this body is the second reason, which is that when the Market Research Center bid for a lot of the information that they're using to provide the marketing services, which are databases, GIS services, software, they have a lot of resources available to them, it was determined that if they were reselling the information, they had to pay a substantially higher premium for the access to that software, up to tenfold higher. So the result of us forcing them to continue their shift to a fee schedule would be that their costs, which are now less than $300,000, would have to go up by more than $100,000 to provide the same quality and level of services to the business community of Wyoming. So effectively, if we were to implement that fee schedule, we would make the fees onerous to the business community and potentially diminish the benefits that the Market Research Center is proposing to society and the state of Wyoming in particular. This is a very good program. It's provided tremendous benefits to the state of Wyoming. It's free. Any of you with businesses could be accessing it right now. You could ask them for advice. The people throughout Wyoming could be asking them for advice on how to market better. They'll do pretty much anything you ask them to. And I hope we'll continue to support this program, Mr. Chairman. And I urge that the body supports it, and I'd be open for questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, discussion on Senate File 74. Any discussion? Questions on Senator Bebout's motion that Senate File 74 pass committee of the whole. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Senate File 74 is passed committee of the whole. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 35. The reading clerk, please read the Senate file.
Senate File 35, Law Enforcement Academy Director Duties, an act relating to the Wyoming Law Enforcement Academy, sponsored by Senator Anderson. It was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Perkins. Senator Perkins, Chairman.
Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report that it do so the favorable recommendation on Senate File 35, Law Enforcement Academy Director Duties. For an explanation of the bill, we'll turn it over to Senator Anderson.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 35 is being brought to you on behalf of the Law Enforcement Academy, which is in my district in Douglas. They operate under the Attorney General's office. I'll give you some background and some historical perspective on that agency. Perhaps that'll be helpful for you to understand kind of this journey that we've been in regard what brings us to the point that we're at today. When you look at a bill like Senate File 35, which is going to offer the opportunity to promulgate rules to the director of the Law Enforcement Academy, you might ask yourself, it's much like planting trees. Would have been better to have done it 25 years ago, but if you didn't do it at that time, then we had better, we just as well do it today. A little perspective in regard to a historical overview, I guess you would better say. In regard to the Law Academy, it goes clear back to 1957. There was a prominent Wyoming lawman who returned from a session at the National Academy and came back to pursue what was to be more formal peace officer training. So he approached at that time the Wyoming Peace Officers Association, and he was given $100 to start that venture. The peace officer's basic training course was then in 1958 consisted of 100 hours and was held once a summer at the University of Wyoming campus with an advisory board which consisted of representatives from the Denver Field Office of the FBI, Wyoming Game and Fish Commission, the Wyoming Highway Patrol, University of Wyoming, Chief of Police, and two sheriffs. Having oversight on the curriculum, then they started about the process of developing and presenting training. Well, that worked up until about 1971, and in 1971, the Wyoming Peace Officer Standards Training Act, Wyoming Statute 93-1904 was then enacted. The act, effective in 7176, then mandated minimum selected standards and training in an additional 40 hours of continuing education every 2 years. This training then fell under the umbrella of POST, or P-O-S-T, for us, for its development and delivery. Basically, one director at that time wearing two hats, federal funding was used, coming to an end at the university, and so they asked the legislature to fund basic peace officer training, and so then the academy went further looking for a home, and I would think that there are probably members on this floor that have some memory in regard to the development of that academy. Well, a grant was written and extended that expanded the original one, and these applicants were successful for a new site that was needed for training, and then a facility was needed, so through the Department of Ag, that academy then located itself at the Wyoming State Fairgrounds, and they lived in the dorms there and used the grounds as a training area. And that time, training only occurred during the summer months. Now, after 14 years at the University of Wyoming, then, it was at home in Douglas at the State Fairgrounds. Well, several things changed, and through the years, and the requirements moved on, but with really no significant changes until 1983. And then this was then when the academy was statutorily established under Wyoming State Statute 91632, with the 46th legislature, and I don't know how that might date certain members on the floor, but this is when POST then became separate from the Wyoming Law Enforcement Academy. A director was then hired, and we established the Wyoming Law Academy in Douglas. Well, just quickly, I will give you some rationale before I go into the bill, but what we find ourselves in that situation was never, the authority was never clearly designated to the director of the Wyoming Law Enforcement Academy as perhaps it should have been. There was an effort, collaborative effort, between the director, the Attorney General's office, and this advisory group, and they managed their way through until recently, given a bit more litigious society and others, they have had discipline issues. Now, the Law Academy has very stringent honor code. It's typical of all honor codes in regard to, not lying, not stealing, not cheating, no toleration of those who do. And so the director found himself confronted with some disciplinary issues, some of which I'm familiar with, having Douglas in my district and living in that district that I will not elaborate. But he was called upon to make some decisions in regard to dismissal and disciplining and whatnot. The arrangement being that these folks are assigned through local police departments, sheriff's departments, highway patrol, and that regard. So there's some discussion in regard to the dismissal of those cadets and sending them home and out of that profession. So then that then brings this bill for the request. And if you will, just for a moment, and there are no amendments, Mr. Chairman, look at the bill in regard to what it's trying to do to allow that ability to promulgate rules in order to provide a safer, more secure environment at the academy. First of all, this bill relates to the Wyoming Law Academy we talked about, to specify duties of the director of the Law Enforcement Academy. Some of the duties, if we'll go on then to that, or some of the things that it would like to establish, line 7 applies to the director, page 2, or line 7, page 2, subject to the approval of the Attorney General because of that working relationship they have with that office. But it would allow him the ability, line 10, to supervise and direct all the activities at the Law Academy. along with line 13, establish policies and procedures to promote a safe, healthy, and productive training environment. Line 17, to promulgate rules and regulations to ensure maintenance of a productive learning environment, which may include a code of conduct and a disciplinary rules for students. On line 22, page 2, establish standards for the satisfactory completion of classes and courses that shall comply with standards promulgated by the Peace Officers Standards and Training Commission for Peace Officers, Dispatchers, and Coroners, those three entities being the primary law enforcement entities that they train and work with. Mr. Chairman, there's a lot more I guess I could say in regard to the need for this bill. Like I said, it's kind of late coming, but it's one that I think is necessary. It would work, I think, well for the effective function of a very important agency within government and certainly within our state. With that, Mr. Chairman, thank you, and I would then pause for any questions.
Discussion on Senate File 35. Ready for question? Questions on Senator Perkins' motion that Senate File 35 pass Committee of the Whole. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Senate File 35 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Beam me up.
On now, big guy.
Mr. Chairman, before I make a motion, just a couple of the observations. I applaud you for your first day of work on Committee of the Whole. As we get going, you'll see that, of course, we'll be working a lot longer and a lot harder as bills become more available to us as they come out of the committee. We will try to work as expeditiously as we can. We'll try to make sure that you'll be able to go home tomorrow. But we will do Committee of the Whole again. We'll have second reading. A couple of just observations. With regard to if there's a standing committee amendment or a Committee of the Whole amendment, or and this applies also with regards to second and or third reading, once you've made the motion to adopt the amendment, then ask for the reading clerk to have it read in at that time. That's the protocol in the Senate, and then at that point in time, he'll read in the amendment, then we can proceed to discuss that amendment. With regard to referring to senators by their name, it is normally the protocol in the Senate that it is absolutely perfectly fine if you're yielding to a senator to carry the bill or to debate it to use their name, or if an amendment has their name on it, you can refer to it as the Anderson Amendment or whatever it might be. But in order to promote civility on the floor, and when we're getting into debates where it could be heated, we do not refer to each other by name. So I guess you're going to need to learn what county or what district, Senate district, that senator might be from. With that, in those words, Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've all heard the motion. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. That motion's been adopted. Senator Anderson. Mr. President.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. Senate File 11, do pass. Senate File 16, do pass. Senate File 38, do pass, amended. Senate File 76, do pass. Senate File 75, do pass. Senate File 74, do pass. And Senate File 35, do pass, Senator Co-Chairman.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, I move for adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Motion is carried. Committee of the Whole report has been adopted. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Mr. President.
Go ahead.
I move that the Senate stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow, Friday, January 14th.
Are there any announcements, Senator Scott?
Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet in the normal committee room tomorrow at 7:30 a.m. Committee members, notice the time, 7:30 a.m. We will seek to complete our work on Senate File 61, Co-Employee Immunity, and then deal with Senate File 37, Health Insurance Definitions, and Senate File 25, Long-Term Services and Support, in that order. And, Mr. President, I would also remind the Senate that of the training this afternoon on this monstrosity, the National Reform Bill, and this is a copy of it if anybody is interested. We'll start over in the conference room in the basement of the Hersler building at 3 o'clock. It was originally announced as on adjournment of both houses, but the House is already adjourned. So my information is that we'll start it at 3 o'clock.
Senator Geis?
Committee number 5, Agriculture, State Lands, and Public Water Resources, will meet at about a quarter after 4. We're going to take up Senate File 5, State Land Improvements, Senate File 6, Animal Damage Management, Senate File 7, State Senator, and Senate File 46, Stockwater Permits. And we will hear a briefing from the state engineer on the Montana-Wyoming lawsuit.
Thank you, Senator Guy. Senator Cove?
Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock over here in S-11 by the Smoking Lounge to continue work on Senate File 36, Seclusion and Restraint in Schools, from Wednesday, and Senate File 71, Education, Hunter Safety Courses.
Thank you, Senator Perkins.
Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning, Friday, January the 14th, at 8 a.m., we're expecting a pretty good group tomorrow, so we're actually going to meet in the Hersler Building Room B63, which is the big conference room down there as you come in from the parking garage, where we will take and hear Senate File 15, Court Jurisdiction, Senate Joint Resolution 2, Health Care Freedom, and Senate Joint Resolution Number 3, Health Care Freedom 2. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Burks. Senator Bebout.
Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, will meet tomorrow, Friday, January 14th at 15 minutes after noon, adjournment up here in S-18 to consider the following bills. Senate File 87, Oil and Gas Operations Surety Bond. Senate File 24, State Investments. Senate File 92, Natural Gas Storage. And if time allows, Senate Joint Resolution 6, Resolution Environmental Protection Agency Regulations. And, Mr. President, on Monday, it's January 17th, 15 minutes afternoon adjournment, we will be again in room S-18 to discuss Senate File 73, Municipal Solid Waste Landfills.
Thank you. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Senate Appropriations, I said that wrong again, the Joint Appropriations Committee will meet at 3:30 to begin the Department of Health budget. Tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., we'll meet to consider Agency 40, Game and Fish, Agency 20, Department of Environmental Quality. At noon, 1 o'clock, or during the lunchtime, 1 o'clock, we'll meet to hear Agency 10, Department of Agriculture, and Agency 51, Livestock Board. If we can work it out, we'll also meet to hear from the Water Development Commission, principally to talk about water count 4, money going in there, and the Gillette Water Project and how we can take care of that big, large, significantly large request.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Joint Rules Committee will meet in room B67 in the basement to consider joint rules immediately upon adjournment.
Senator Ross, I think there was a memo that came out that changed that location to 302, I think.
They did? Well, then, never mind.
No, we still have
room 302.
Thank you, and I apologize for the interruption. Okay, in closing, I just simply say that I concur with the majority floor leader. I think that you've done excellent today. I think we're off to a grand start. We'll maintain that momentum. We will maintain that attitude. And I would just also say to a couple of new members that rose for the first time today, you did well. With that, you've heard the motion, and so then the Senate will stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, Friday, January 14th. We stand adjourned.